Today's shiur is Masechta Beis Daf Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Beis on the Beis, two lines from the bottom of Yosef Amar. We had learned in our Mishnah yesterday that a Be'er Shenol de B'Shabbos, B'Yontif, a Be'er that was born on Yontif, hatched on Yontif, Machloikis B'Sham Beis Hillel, B'Shamah's opinion was that such a Be'er may be eaten, Teichel, Beis Hillel Amar Lai Teichel. In our previous year, in the Gemara trying to understand the basis for this halacha, first, the Gemara wanted to say that it was connected to Shaila of Hilchus Bittel, and the other the Gemara said was that it was connected to the question of Hakana, that everything that we eat on Shabbos and Yontif has to be mukhan from before Shabbos and before Yontif. And this Be'er, obviously, that was just hatched on Yontif, on Shabbos, was not mukhan from before Shabbos or Yontif. As we begin, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, today's shir, Rav Yosef offers another reason. Rav Yosef says the reason this Be'er may not be eaten, Igzer Mishon Peiros HaNoshim. Chazal were concerned that the halacha is that if fruit fell off a tree or in Shabbos and Yontif from where they grow, Chazal said that one may not eat it, as we're going to see soon because of a gzeira. So the egg that comes out of the hen is very similar to that, and that's why Chazal said it may not be eaten. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbayu. So Rabbayu asked Rabbi Yosef, Peres HaNoshim Tamamai, why did Chazal say that one may not eat Peres HaNoshim Shabbos Yontif? The reason was Kseir Hashem Yala V'Yitlash. Chazal were concerned that somebody may go up the tree and pull off the fruit from the tree, which is Usur. So ask the Gemara, he gufa, the halacha of not being allowed to do, the reason we're not allowed to eat such a fruit, the person, if the fruit fell down by itself, did not do anything wrong. It's only a gzeira. The Chazal were concerned that if we're going to allow you to eat this fruit, you may come to pick this fruit. And now, ask the Maravanan, Nekum, V'nig, Zegzeira, L'gzeira. The Torah says, V'shmartem es m'shmarti. And this is the source, how we know Chazal have a right to make a gzeira. Torah gave Chazal the right to make gzeiras to protect what it says in the Torah. But as the Gemara often says, Gzeira, L'gzeira, you're allowed to make a gzeira, V'lo gzeira, L'gzeira. And the reason the Rishonim already say that a gzeira l'gzeira may not be made, because we don't want to have a world, they explain, that's full of gzeiras. The Tashbats writes, Shema Yadovim Mespashit, M'gzeira l'gzeira, if we're going to allow gzeiras to continue to multiply, Hayikosim Kol Advar Matmat, slowly but surely, everything would come awesome. So why are we expanding it to say that even a Be'er Shenolda is Asur? Answers the Gemara, Kula Chod Gzeira. And the way the Rishonim explained this is, when Chazal made the original Gzeira, it wasn't that they made a Gzeira on Peiros HaNoshrim, and then afterwards they wanted to expand it, as we suggested at the beginning of today's shiur, to a case of Be'er. They said all of these are included in the same rule up front. So now we've learned that the Mishnah takes a whole new approach. So, and the concern is because of this gezeira. So Tosfos asks a question. We mentioned this at the introduction of today's shiur, that there's already issa muksa here. So why do we have to add that this bay is usur because of Peiros HaNoshrim? It's already awesome because of Muksa. So Taisha says, there are situations where this Gzeira won't be applicable, but Muksa, and they're going to be examples where it won't be this reason, the Muksa will be applicable and not that reason. So, for example, in a field where a lot of birds that I own have fruit on those trees. So the Isser of Muksa is not there, because I know that my birds have to eat, and I have these trees available, these trees with fruit available for them to eat from my trees. On the other hand, if the issue is, but Paris and Nishrim does still apply because I may end up going up the tree to take down from the fruit to give to my birds. Another point is, if it's something that's not easily pulled off. So if the gzeir is shemiyal v'yitlash, where it's not easily taken down, there's no concern. But if in the other case, the muksa would still remain. The Rashba takes a whole different approach. The Rashba, his approach is that the Gemara here doesn't mean to say that the only thing we're worried about is gzeir shemiyal v'yitlash. The Gemara means actually to say that we're worried both because of Yalav Yitlish and Muksa. But Taisus asks, what's the Gemara's concern? Shem Yalav Yitlish, that you may come and go up the tree and pull up the fruit. But we're talking about Yontif. And on Yontif, Oichel Nefesh is Mutter. So why would we make such a Gzeira? So Taisus says, from here we see that not all malachis are mutter on yontif, even in circumstances of oichel nefesh. And therefore, says Taisus, the only malachis we know that the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos lists all the malachis, and the malachis in order, zriya, ktsira, he says only from the malacha of lishen on are malachis mutter on yontif. Ktsira, which we're talking about here, shemiyal v'yitloish, is a malach is before the malach of Lisha, is not mutter on Yontif just because Eichel Nefesh. Rav Yitzchak Amar, Rav Yitzchak too is coming to try to explain our Mishnah, Reis Hillel's opinion, why the Beyah may not be eaten. And he says, Gzer Mishnah Mashkin Suzavo. Chazal were concerned, just like juice that comes out of a fruit on Yontif, on Shabbos, may not be consumed, because Chazal, as we're going to learn, we're concerned that you may come to squeeze. Here too, Chazal made that rule that you're not allowed to eat the beya that came out by itself, because the beya is very similar to the juice in the fruit. Why did Chazal say that you're not allowed to consume juice that comes out by itself on Shabbos? Because Chazal were concerned that you may come to squeeze the fruit. Ask the Gemara, he goof a gzeira. The isser of drinking the juice is a gzeira. Vanan nekem and nix a gzeira, gzeira expanded to the beish shenoldo. Answers the Gemara, like we learned a moment ago, kulachad a gzeira, it's all one gzeira. So where the Gemara is up to now is that we have four reasons over the last two shiurim why the bey is osser. One is because of muksa, next is because of achana, next is because of, as we started today, shir, peris hanoshrim, and then the next reason is because mashkin shazavu. And what the Gemara is about to begin doing is explaining why every shita did not agree with the, where every opinion did not agree with the other opinion. So says the Gemara, kula, everybody didn't agree with Rav Nachman. The Rav Nachman began our Masechta by explaining that the issue with the Beya is because of Muksa. Kula Rav Nachman like Amri, Kikushin. Like we said in the previous year, that if that were the case, that we're arguing about Muksa, so the Mishnah shouldn't have just spoken about the halacha of the egg. The Mishnah should have said the halacha about the chicken as well. Kravanami, the issue the Rava brought up, the issue of Achana, Loi Amri, they don't agree with that concept, because Achana Leslu, they don't agree with the concept of Achana. So Rishonim point out, how can we not agree with the concept of Achana, where it's something that we learned in the Gemara? So they explain two different ways. One is that indeed they don't hold the Issa Achana, or the other way of learning is that this, the definition of Achana means that you have to prepare before Shabbos, before Yontif the meal, but here, and not do it on Shabbos or Yontif. But here, you didn't do the opposite. You, the egg is mucha b'dei shemayim. The fact that the egg is ready a day before to be born is not dependent on you. And that's why it's not a violation of Achana. Another pshat that I saw is that the whole premise of Rabbah's explanation was that an egg that's born today was muchen the day before. They disagree, and they say that the egg that was born today was not necessarily muchen the day before. Ella asks the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, who started our shiur today with the reason of Peiros HaNoshrim, my tam lo yomek Rabbi Yitzchak, why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding? Amalek, Rabbi Yosef explains, Bei Ochla or Peiros Ochla. Bei is a food, and Peiros are a food. Lafuki Mashkin, whereas when you speak about Mashkin Shazova, we're not talking about a food, we're talking about a drink, and we can't compare liquids to foods. Rabbi Yitzchak, my time lamek Rabbi Yosef. Why didn't he say the reason of Peiros HaNoshrim? Amlach beya belua. The egg is in the mother's stomach. Mashkin belum. So too are liquids in the fruit. Lafuki Peiros the maglev akaimu. When we speak about Peiros HaNoshrim, the Peiros is something that we all could see, and therefore we can't compare it to. Vama Rabbi Yosef, Rav Rabbi Yochanan Sava. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan also holds that the reason is because Mashkim Shazavu, like Rabbi Yitzchak said. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan asked the contradiction in the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda or Mishani, and he gave an answer. And based on his answer, we see that this is Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of what we are learning. Because the Gemara says, Tanan, the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis teaches us, one may not squeeze fruit to extract juice from them, because extracting juice is melachas tash on Shabbos, obviously also. But if the juice oozed out by itself, asurim. Even if they oozed out by itself, asurim. And the reason presumably is, like we just learned, because we're concerned that we're going to allow you to consume that juice, you may come to squeeze fruit on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im la'oichlim, if the fruits that we're looking at are fruits meant to be eaten, not for juice, hayoyts me mutter, because the owners are not interested in this juice, vim la'mashkin, but if they're meant for liquid, then hayoyts me aser, because we're concerned, as we just said, that you may come to squeeze that fruit. Alma, kol la'oichlim, anything that's meant for eating, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, uchla dofrasu, is considered part of the original food, as we described in the previous year, and is not included in the concept of mashkim shazavu. So if our Mishnah is, so if we speak about a beya that comes out from its head, from the hen, is meant for eating, so it shouldn't be part of this gezeira. Vrimini, but we ask a question. The Mishnah Masechta Erevin discusses the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda discusses the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We know that Rosh Hashanah is a unique yontif. It's unique that it is the only yontif that is kept even in Chutz Laaretz for 2 days. And the halacha is, Rabbi Yehuda therefore says, if somebody didn't put down an Erev Tchumim, we know, we learned Masechet Erevin. The halacha is that on Shabbos Yontif, one may not walk past the Tchum, but a way that he may be able to walk past the Tchum is putting down an Erev Tchumim. But the Erev Tchumim has to be put down before Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. So the Gemara over there discusses a situation where somebody didn't put down an Erev Tchumim for Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says that he could put down 2 Erev Tchumim, and say 1 Erev Tchumim is for the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and 1 Erev Tchumim is for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Because the halacha is that we hold the Erev Tchumim, that each day of Rosh Hashanah is considered a separate day. So based on Rabbi Yehuda's approach, that each day of Rosh Hashanah is a separate day, and actually only one day is Yontif, because Rabbi Yehuda explains that Rosh Hashanah is the only yontif in our calendar that comes out at the beginning of the month. And as we discussed, Masechet Sukkah, they didn't have modern mode of communication, so they had no way of knowing when Rosh Chodesh was, and to know when yontif was. So that was for the people that lived in Chutz Laaretz. But when we speak about Rosh Hashanah, Even people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah was declared in Yerushalayim. People didn't live near Yerushalayim. And moreover, since they weren't sure what they would be Rosh Chodesh, there would be situations where Rosh Chodesh was the one day of, on one day, we didn't know if today's going to be Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to start the day acting as if it's Rosh Hashanah, and only know later in the day if it was or it wasn't. So that's why Chazal said, everywhere, we keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But as we said, it's a question, is it one Kedusha? Is the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah considered one long day, or is it considered 2 days? So says the Gemara, Oram Rabbi Yehuda, based on that question, which Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as we just said, is that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered two separate Kedushas. We know the halacha is that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one cannot take off trumas and maaseres from his produce. It's considered mesaken. It's considered that you are fixing. You're making it edible. Makom b'patish. But he says, masna adam al kakala, he could take a basket of fruit, of kakala shaperis beyond the rishon, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And he says, if today is not Rosh Hashanah, so I'm allowed to take off trumas and maaseres. It's not a Yom Tov. And then he'll eat those fruits that on the second day Yom Tov. If, on the other hand, he says yesterday was Yom Tov, then today is not Yom Tov, and there's no problem with the Trumas and Maestris. Vaichla b'sheni, and he could eat the fruits on the second day of Yom Tov, and the Trumas and Maestris will be given to the Kohanim after Rosh Hashanah. Furthermore, he says there, v'kei beil shenolda berishin, if an egg was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, teichel b'sheni. It may be eaten on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What's pshat? Because, again, if the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, so the second day is a regular weekday. And as we explained, of course, even according to Beis Hillel, that holds the Beis Shanol de B'yontav Lo Teichel, it means on that day it may not be eaten. On the next day, it can be eaten. B'sheni in, but we say, and the second day we'll eat it, with the same concept. If the first day is Yom Tov, so the second day is no problem. And if the second day is Yom Tov, then the first day wasn't Yom Tov. And if the first day wasn't Yom Tov, then it was not born on Yom Tov. But what we see here, B'sheni, in it may only be eaten on the second day, B'rishon not. So what we see here is that something that is born on Yom Tov may not be eaten. But Rabbi Yehuda said, Uchla dofresu, and it may be eaten. And Rabbi Yochanan answered, we have to reverse the opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to, the Chachamim the one that will make Lamashkim Shizavu, and Rabbi Yehuda was Machmer. But the point that the Gemara wants to make is, we see clearly, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan asked a question between these two Mishnayis, between Beya and that Mishnah, Shema Minah, the Rabbi Yochanan's approach was the Chat Tamahu. That when we speak about Beya, we speak about the concern of Mashkin Shazavu. Revira Amaloy Lamatapach. There's no reason to change the Shitas in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that anything that's meant for Achila, there is no concern of Mashkin Shazavu. What the way to understand, Rabbi Yehuda is still going to consider that opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda was speaking to Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda was speaking to the Rabbanan. Liddidhi, according to me, the Beya that was born, even on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Afilu Berishon Nami, even that was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Shari should be mutar. Because the reason is that we're concerned for Mashkin Shizavu, and here there is no concern of Mashkin Shizavu, because this is Uchla D'Ofrasu, because the chicken is meant for Lachila, not for Shtiya. Eladetchu, that are concerned for Mashkim Shizavu. And not only are you concerned for Mashkim Shizavu by a fruit that's meant to be squeezed for its juice, but you're concerned for Mashkim Shizavu by all fruit. Eladetchu, Oidli Mias, at least agree with me, the Shtei Kedushas, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are two separate Kedushas, and therefore, even though the Bey was born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you will hold that it's Usur because of Mashkim Shazavu. You ought to agree that it's Mut on the second day because the second day is a separate kedusha, v'amalei rabbanan, and rabbanan respond to Yehuda. Not only are we concerned for mashkim shezavu by beya, but we look at the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as kedusha achas, as one long kedusha. Another way of answering suggests the Gemara, the stira in the opinion of Yehuda. It says the Gemara, Ravina Bereid Rav Ulama, Hocha B'tana Goros HaGeras L'Gadol Beim. The Mishnah here is talking not about a chicken that's meant to lay eggs. Yehuda Tameh, the Islay Muksa. Yehuda's concern is not because of Mashkim Shezavu, its concern is because of Muksa. And therefore, the chicken is Muksa, because the chicken is Oymel Gadol Beim, not Lachila. So that's why on Yontif it's Muksa. And that's why it extends to the Beya that's born from it, and has nothing to do with Mashkin Shezavu. And the whole premise that we wanted to say that Rabbi Yochanan held that the issue is Mashkin Shezavu, there's nothing to do with what we're speaking about. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak's explanations why Beis is Osir, as we have been learning, is because either Mashkim Shezavu or Peiris Shenoshim. Esvei, the Brisa says, Echa Beis Shenoshim B'Shabbos, whether the egg was hatched in Shabbos, Echa Beis Shenoshim B'Yontif, or whether it was born in Yontif, the halacha is, Eima Tatam Oysel L'Chasas B'Kli, we're not allowed to move that egg to use it as a bottle cover. V'Loi Lismach B'Kara Amita, what they apparently did was that they used to use eggs to hold up a bed. Obviously, you have to know how to put the egg, that you shouldn't crack the egg. Ava kaifel as a kli b'shvil to l'shaber. But the Gemara says that you're allowed to take, you have this egg that was laid, that we're not allowed to touch, we're not allowed to move on Shabbos or Yontif, but you don't want it to get ruined. You're allowed to take another keli to cover it. So the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says the Gemara Masechet Shabbos introduced the concept Ein Keli Nittel Elul Tzarech Davar Nittel. On Shabbos, when we have Hilchos Muksa, we're not allowed to carry a keli which is not Muksa on behalf of a keli which is Muksa. So the egg we're learning is Muksa. So the question is, how can we move this keli to cover the egg that if Ein Keli Nittel So Taisha says that what happened over here was that I picked up this keli not on behalf of this egg. I picked up the keli that is not muksa for whatever reason. Once I picked up the keli which is not muksa for whatever reason, I could put it down wherever I want. And I could put it down on top of the egg. So it wasn't picked up on behalf of the egg, which is muksa. Interesting, Shaila in the Paiskim, the Mishnah Berurah discusses, what happens if I picked up a keli, not in a permissible fashion, whether it's the example that we're speaking about here, where I picked up the keli on behalf of an egg, when we have the issue of ein keli nittel, ela tzarech davar nittel, or what halach is, as we've been learning, and we'll continue learning, when we speak about muksa. So, of course, we're not allowed to pick up a keli, which is muksa, unless it's keli shemalach de l'isser, which may be picked up with tzarech gufoy mekoymai. What's going to be the halacha if I picked up such a keli that I wasn't allowed to pick it up? Where do I have to deposit it? So the Magen Avraham says that once I picked it up, I could put it down wherever I want. The Gra, according to the Mishnah Berurah, holds that if I had no right to pick up the keli, I can't just keep on carrying it as far as I want. Of course, we're not referring here to a sile of Aitzah. I have to put it down at the first spot. And actually, the Chazanish says that the Mishnah Berurah misunderstood the Gra, and the Mishnah Berurah explains that there is no issue, that the Gra, the Chazanish explains that the Gra too would be lenient, that once you picked up the keli, you're allowed to do with it whatever you want. But now there's another question. The halach is that when you put the keli on top of the egg, you're going to be touching the keli. So going back to what we discussed in our previous year, the isser of muksa is to move muksa. However, here we're not moving muksa, we're just touching muksa, and that's not usur. However, the Trumas Adeshin says that this halacha, that would allow to touch muksa is only it was not touching muksa on behalf for the sake of the muksa. But if it's touching the muksa for the sake of the muksa, it's also. How here we're touching it for the benefit of the egg, that it shouldn't crack. So the Magen Mishnah says that if we're not moving it directly, we're moving it indirectly. Therefore, since we're moving it indirectly, we're not touching it necessarily directly, we're touching it with a keli. That's why it's mutter to move it that way. Avakaifel is a kli, b'shvishal l'tishaba. V'sveika asura. Continues the Brisa teaching us. If we have a suffix in the Gemara, we'll discuss what that means in a few moments. It's asur. V'nis arva be'elef. And if this egg, which is asur, got mixed up with another with a thousand egg, the halach is kulon asurus. So says the Gemara. Bishlam al rabba dam mishum achonob. According to Rabbi, we just learned the halach is that there's a suffix with machmer. So according to Rabbi, that explained in our previous year that the concern was that achana, we could understand why. Because it's a sveika deraisa, the issa of achana is a deraisa, and we have a rule that whenever we have suffik, suffik deraisa l'chumra. Ella, when Rabbi Yitzchak asked the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yitzchak of Yitzchak, that began to the shiur today by saying that the reason the bay is osur is a gzeira. Paris and Nostrum, Mashkim Shazavu. So this is a drabonon. And we know that the rule is that Sveik drabonon, he. And the halach is that called Sveik drabonon, whenever we have a Sveik drabonon, Lakula, we go Makel. Answers the Gemara, Sefer, when the Brisa said that if we have a Sveik, we should be Machmer, is talking about a Sveik Trefa. That's referring to a situation where the mother that it was born from might have been a bird, which is a trefa. And if the mother is a trefa, then the child is a trefa, and therefore it's a suffix deraisa. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're learning, Yachem Sefer, this Arabel Elif Kulan Asuras. Yem Shlomo, suffix Yontov, suffix Chol. If we're going to say that the bay we're speaking about is the bay that we're speaking about in our Gemaras, so we can understand why it never becomes bottled. Because there's a new rule in Hilchos Bittul. We know that a very important part of halacha is that something could become bottle. Shishim, 60 to 1 ratio, or other ratios, that's how things become bottle. But something which is mutter, davisheshto matirim, something which ultimately will become mutter, never becomes bottle. And as Rashi says, ach techlena be'isser, techlena be'heter. Instead of eating it with a shayla, that it's maybe a problem, maybe not a problem, wait to when it's no problem. So if it's the bay of our sugyas, where it's the bay of shanol to be yontif, after yontif, everybody agrees it'll be mutter. Since after yontif, everybody agrees it'll be mutter, there's no right to eat it on yontif, even if it became bottled within a thousand other eggs. But if we're saying that's talking about a trefa is not going to be any more mutter tomorrow than it is today. So why doesn't it become bottled? E amrit b'shlama, that the bay that we're speaking about is a suffik. It was yontif suffik b'chol. If it was born on yontif b'chol, that's why we could understand why it's not bottled. Because as we just explained, it's a dover sheyesh lematirin. And the halach is called of shesh lamatirin afilu be'elef lebotel. Eli amrit sofik treifa, if we're going to say that the issue with this sofik is that maybe its mother was a treifa, then it's not a dav shesh lamatirin. It's never going to become mutter if it's a treifa. And why doesn't it become bottle? The bottle beruva. And v'chitema, and if you're going to want to say, says the Gemara, that be'ech shuva, that this bayah is considered a choshva thing, and that's why loy bottle doesn't become bottle. Hanich leman mandomer, in identifying what is a davar choshev, that the halacha is that something that's a davar choshev doesn't become bottle. There are two ways of learning. Hanich leman mandomer kol davar shadakalim neshaninu, that anything that's usually sold by peace is considered choshev and doesn't become bottle. So then we could understand this Gemara. Because an egg is usually sold by piece, and therefore it's a davar chashuv, and therefore it doesn't become bottle. It's only something that is always sold by piece. It's always sold by piece. So then an egg is not always sold by piece. An egg sometimes is sold by the case, and we don't start counting each egg. So it's not a davar chashiv. And if the issue is suffik treifa, Michael Mema. So we have now in our Gemara, I've learned two different concepts of foods or cases where we don't have bittul. One is the case of davar sheish lematirin, and one is the reason of davar chashiv. These are both examples where the halacha tells us that we don't accept the concept of bittul. So the Gemara first mentioned the concept of davar sheish lematirin. And as we said, Rashi explains that the reason a dov sheish lematirin is not bottle, atzus tachlana beisur tachlana beheter. So the Mepais can make a very interesting point that here we're talking about an egg that wasn't peeled, because the halacha is that an egg that's peeled may not be left overnight. And once that egg, it's a sakana. The Gemara Masechta Nida Daf Yud Zayin teaches us. And therefore, if it may not be eaten, left overnight, it's not going to be considered a davar sheish lematirin. And therefore, that egg would be allowed to be eaten. We're obviously speaking about here an egg that is not peeled, and therefore we could eat the egg the next day. It's a davar sheish lematirin. There are those that disagree and say that it is not considered dovish, that even though an egg that's left overnight may not be eaten, it wouldn't be enough to take away the concern of dovish sheish lematirin. So as we explained, the reason is because Rashi explains, atcha tachlana be'isser, tachlana beheter. So from here we see, from Rashi's explanation, a very important point. We know, as we said, and we know, the one of the reasons why we may or may not rely on bittul is because the Torah says we always follow the roif. So the question is, if the Torah says that we always follow the roif, how are we to look at it? Are we to say that when we have a shaila and we have a roif, the roif tells us that we don't have a shaila? Since roif is mutter, everything is mutter, provided you have the proper ratio. The fact that Rashi keeps on saying "Acha tachlena beisur, tachlena beheter" means that Roiv doesn't tell us that every egg here is a kosher egg. Rather, what Roiv tells us is, because I don't know what to do, Roiv tells us you can eat all the eggs. But Roiv doesn't mean that all the eggs are kosher, and that's why Rashi's svara of "Acha tachlena beisur, tachlena beheter" is very understandable. Furthermore, the Ran in Masecht and the Darim has a whole different approach to this. Because when we learn to the concept of Asher Techlena Bissa, to the concept of Dov Sheshta Matirim, because the Ran says, when we speak about Bittel, or whether when we do say Bittel, or we don't say Bittel, the Ran says that there's the Gemara in Masecht and Menachos and other places differentiates between Min B'Minoi, if the two things that got mixed up are of the same type, or min b'she'ena mino, and not the same type. And Rabbi Yehuda often in Shas is of the opinion that min b'minoi loy bottle. If two things are the same, then they're not bottle, even though you have the proper ratio. The raya is because the Gemara told us in Masechta Yuma, when we did the avoda on Yom Kippur, and we had the dama par, which the animal blood of a par is, there's a lot of blood. The damasar, there's not a lot of blood. And yet the Torah calls the damasar, damasar, even though it's bottle in the damapar. Why? So the Ran says, the bittel, the Ran explains, works that the one that's more, the roiv, has the ability to eradicate the one that's the miyat. But that ability is only in a case where there are different types. When the min b'minoi, then it doesn't have the ability. So he says that something that's a davar sheish lematirin, what does a davar sheish lematirin mean? That it's going to be the same as we have roiv eggs here that are no problem, and we have one egg that is a problem because it's a beish anol de biyontif. But that egg is not going to be a problem long term. Since that egg is not going to be a problem long term, so it means it's the means, says the Ran, that it's considered the same min as the other eggs. And by min b'minoy, we don't say bittel, and that's why a davashesh l'matirin, that is not an issue. What would be the nafkamina between the Ran and Rashi's approach to this question? Says the Prima Gaudim, if an egg from a treifa was born on Yontif, and that egg got mixed up with other eggs. And Rashi's explanation would be that we should still not allow to eat it, because it'll be mutter after Yontif. And therefore, if it could be mutter after Yontif, we should wait for after Yontif. However, the Ran says that it's min b'minoy, but this we can't call min b'minoy, because one egg is literally treif, because it came from a mother that's treif, and the other ones are kosher eggs, and therefore we couldn't apply the concept of min b'minoy. The Rashba makes a very important point. The Rashba says that when we say the concept of a davar she'yesh lo matirin, we only say that doesn't become batel is if doesn't hurt to wait till later. But if it's going to be a situation where waiting will cause a problem, then the Rashba, that would not be considered a davar she'yesh lo matirin. Another point, a very famous point from the Noida Behuda. The Noida Behuda discusses that this concept of davar she'yesh lo matirin, says the Noida Behuda, is only applicable by eating. And he explains, because when we speak about eating, we could only eat something once. Since we could only eat something once, so following Rashi Svara, Ach tachlena be'isser, tachlena be'heter. So instead of eating this beya today on Yontif and having a shayla, wait for after Yontif where you wouldn't have a shayla. But let's say it's something that's going to be reusable. I could use it today and I could use it tomorrow. There, we don't have the concept of davar she'yesh lo matirin. And I saw that the Paiskim apply this to the following situation. There was once a party on Friday evening. On Shabbos, there was going to also be a Shabbat brachas, and they needed to light candles in the hall. Women needed to light candles in the hall where they were going to have that Shabbat brachas. And they put trays on top of chairs, and they lit the candles. Those chairs, as we discussed in our previous year, all became muksa, because those chairs are a Bosses l'davar aser. The next morning, the people came to the hall and they discovered that after the candles went out, the waiters took the trays off those chairs and mixed those chairs together with all the other chairs that were in that hall. Now we have a very serious issue, because those chairs are bosses l'davar aser. And as we keep on repeating when we speak about Hilchas Muksa, Migid is katsoy l'beit ha'shmoshes, is katsoy l'kula yoyma. Once they became Muksa on Friday evening, they became Muksa for the whole Shabbos. So now, could we sit on those chairs or move those chairs? So the first glance, we would say, davar she'yesh lo matirin. These chairs should not be, even though most of the chairs were not Muksa, but these chairs should be considered davar she'yesh lo matirin, because after Shabbos, those chairs are not muksa. And we're learning now that a davar she'yesh lo matirin never becomes batel. But according to the Noida Behuda, where, as we're learning in our sugya, when we speak about davar she'yesh lo matirin, davar she'yesh lo matirin is something that can only be used once. An egg can only be used once. So in a case where something can be used only once, we don't say davar she'yesh lo matirin. But this chair can be used on Shabbos, and it can be used on Sunday again. There, according to Noida Behuda, we wouldn't say the concept of davar she'yesh lo matirin. Another question that the Paiskim discuss, and that is, it goes back to the Rashba that we mentioned. We know, as we've discussed many times, that flour, grain, that takes root from the second day Pesach and on may not be eaten till next year, second day Pesach. That's what's known as Chadosh. And the question is Chadosh considered a davar she'yesh lo matirin? So at first glance, Chodesh is considered davar sheyesh lo matirim. Because even though, so that means if some flour got mixed up with my food, and may I eat that with other flour, the halacha is I shouldn't be allowed to eat that flour. I should wait till after the second day Pesach, where the Chodesh is mutter. It's something I'm eating, so I don't have the heter of the Noida B'Yehuda. And I have the svara, davar sheyesh lo matirim, atcha techlana be'isser, techlana be'heter. But here, the Paiskim say a new consideration. And that is that we have this flour that got mixed, that's chadosh, that got mixed up with much flour that's yoshan. And what are we going to do with this flour? This flour has to be put away in storage till after next year Pesach. And till after next year Pesach. And that cost a considerable amount of money to put it away in storage. So the task says that if there's a financial expense involved to make it mutter, to wait till it's mutter, that is not considered a davar sheyesh lo matirim. So, and therefore, says the Taz, you could rely on bittel. However, the Paiskim say that that isn't so simple, because on one hand, as we just said, that there is expense involved, and the Taz says, wherever there's expense involved, we don't consider it a davar sheyesh lo matirim. But on the other hand, we could suggest that if we're going to wait with this flour till after Pesach, the value of the flour is going to go up. Because the value of flour that's yoshon is more than flour than that's chadosh. So yes, it's going to cost us money to store till after Pesach, but on the other hand, it's going to go up in value. So the Paiskim that say, the Cheshukei Chemet says, that since the cost of storing it will be paid back to me by the flour going up in value, it still can, says, according to the Taz, according to Cheshukei Chemet, we don't have the heter of the Taz, and it's still considered a davar sheyesh lo, it's still considered a davar sheyesh lo matirim. I saw that the Mefarshim discuss that our Gemara just introduced the concept of a davar sheyesh lo matirim. So the Chidah says that this is exactly the conversation that takes place between the Umas Olam and Klal Yisrael. The Umas Olam tell Klal Yisrael that we are the Roiv and you're the Miyat. And we know that B'din Torah, we follow the Roiv. So we should follow, we should be, follow you, based on what we're learning in our shir, that we always follow the Roiv. So one Teretz Techidah says is that all of Klal Yisrael serves one Hashem. The Umas Olam, it's not like they're all united in one worship, and therefore they're not considered a Roiv. Another point that Techidah makes, that our relationship with Klal, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the relationship of a husband and a wife, of a father and children, and there, there's no concept of Roiv. But here, we also just learned in our Gemara another concept, and that is a davar sheva minyan. A davar choshev never becomes bottle. Says the Chidah that Klal Yisrael is considered a davar choshev, and therefore, since we're considered a davar choshev, we never become bottle. So we just, when we spoke about davar sheva minyan, the Gemara said there are two ways of looking at a davar sheva minyan. One is if something is always counted, always sold and counted individually, or is it usually sold that way? What will make it a davar sheva minyan? So Gemara quotes a Mishnah Masechta Arla. Mishayolei Chavili Tilson. He has bundles of kitnius shakalei kerem, something that was kalei kerem is of course osabachai nosa hano yidlku. The law is that should be burnt. You may not have any benefit from them. Nisarva b'acheres, if they got mixed up with other bundles, and acheres b'acheres, and they kept on getting mixed up, kol and yidlku divrei meya. V'cham raimrim, the Chum say that the sheer bittel by kalei kerem is achs masayim, a ratio of 1 to 200. Shoyer Rameya aimer, because Rameya said, eshedaka limnos, something that only is sold by individually, mekadesh, doesn't become bottle. V'cham aimrim, ena mekadesh, it doesn't have that rule that if it's that's a davish of a minion and doesn't become bottle, ella shisha dvarim bilvad. Only six things that are considered choshev that don't become bottle. Rekiva aimer, shiva. There are seven things that are considered very significant and never become bottle. Veilein, a geza perach, the nuts that come from perach, rimoni badim, pomegranate that come from badim, chavius dumas, closed barrel of wine and oil that are very significant, chilfi tardin, leaves of the tardin root, kilche kruv, cabbage, the last yavonis, a cucumber that comes from yavon. Kiva maisef, af kikroi shabalabayis, very significant loaves. Haroila arlo, if they grew from a tree where we have a concern of arlo, then there's a question of arlo. Haroila kalikarim, if there's an issue of kalikarim, there's kalikarim. So here we see that things that have become chashiv don't become bottle. Vitmalo, and in understanding that machlokes, says the Gemara, in understanding the opinion of Rameya, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eshedak Limna Shaninu, the only things that are sold piecemeal don't become bottle. Rishim Ben Lakish Amar Kol Shedak Limna Shaninu. As long as it's usually sold in piece by piece, that's enough that it should be considered a davar chashiv that will not become bottle.